What up, what up? World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen. Coming to you Friday, January 5th from up north in Canada. Beautiful day we had today. Gorgeous. Sunny weather. Even broke that freezing mark. Can't complain about that. Couple of big guests on our show today. It's going to be exciting when you know it. Kind of one of the first times we've been able to bring on numerous guests. So that's always pretty cool. We got Adam. He is, well, supposed to be a future co-host here in the future. Once things kind of slow down a little bit for him. He's also our world junior expert. He's a WHL insider. I mean, he works with the guys, follows it, knows a bunch of them. He's great. Adam's going to be joining us, talking world juniors. Been following that. Finals, actually, getting started shortly here in Buffalo, Canada versus Sweden. We also have Ryan Connett joining us to talk some NHL. He's our Edmonton Oilers analyst. Also follows some of those world juniors. Mainly going to be talking about the Oilers, though. They've had some struggles. They've got an up and down big win last night. Ryan's going to give us some of those thoughts. What he's liking out there. A couple of players to watch. You know what? There's a few more moves happening in the hockey world. Get you caught up. College hockey starting up again here. Big goalie trade in the NHL. A couple Americans on the move. And at the end of this show, huge announcement for World Hockey Report. That's all coming up on this show. World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen. Starts now. Might as well just get to it right now. World Juniors, the biggest thing going on in the hockey world. We got Adam Ermintrout on the line. Let's bring him in. Adam, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just another day in paradise. Friday night, getting ready for the big gold medal game coming up. World Juniors, watch some of those semifinals. I know you've been following. What's your thoughts on Canada so far?
Thankfully, they've had an easy road to the final. You know, they knocked off Switzerland and Czech Republic, and Czech Republic were better than a lot of people thought they were. That they didn't finish seventh like most years, but Canada's looked strong. The only thing that worries me is they don't have a go-to offensive player up front.
Now, I mean, two blowouts in the quarterfinals and semifinals. How do you expect the team to really prepare for that? I mean, Canada's kind of just walked over everyone, to say the least. The Czechs had some pressure today, but other than that, it's looked pretty easy.
Yeah, I know, and even the outdoor game against the States, it was an outdoor game, so you can't really put too much emphasis on that. So
now that was a shit show. What did you think of that one, the outdoor game? We haven't really talked about that since the World Juniors here. First time getting you on the show. What did you think of that outdoor game?
I think it is what it is, but as a organizer for the event, if you can sell 15,000 tickets or 45,000 tickets, you're probably going to pick 45,000 tickets, which makes up for the lack of crowds in the other games.
Still a shitty atmosphere. Like, don't you think of the players at all? Like, when do you start thinking about them? Like, maybe they don't want to play in a snowstorm anymore. Maybe they just want to play a normal game, like biggest game of the tournament, hands down. They really messed that one up. Did you watch that game?
And even I did. And the president of the IIHF said that you can't do outdoor games every year because then they lose their mojo, kind of.
It was just a sloppy game to watch. It wasn't even fun. I mean, once the ice got dirty 3 minutes in, it was just chippy and sloppy and looked like Belarus, Denmark out there.
Yeah, that was probably what the skill levels at.
Now, I mean, I know you're pretty big on Team Sweden out there this tournament. They've been pretty incredible to watch. I mean, Dahlin on the back end, Liljegren, they're an elite team. No one's doubting that. But what did you think of their semifinal win today over the Americans? Or yesterday over the Americans?
They took about halfway through the game to kind of feel them out. In the first, I think, period and a half, there was only 17 shots in the game total. But you could kind of see once Sweden got that power play and Pettersson ripped one over the shoulder of Wohl, they kind of got going from there. And then Dahlin had a couple nice rushes. So, and then they got those two big penalty kill goals. So I thought they looked strong. It took them a while to kind of pick it up because they never really had any big games either. So, you know, it took them a while to pick it up, and they looked strong at the end.
One of the big things I took from that, I mean, I hate to be a stats guy. I'm definitely the anti-stats guy here. But, I mean, Liljegren and Dahlin both kept off the score sheet.
Do the Swedes have depth in scoring? I mean, looking at their roster, you see some of those big guns that really step out to you or stick out. But, I mean, how deep are these guys?
I think they rely on their big guns probably more so than Canada does. Like, Canada doesn't have a Pettersson, Nylander, Elias Andersson to rely on, but Sweden can rely on those guys. It's just that, like, you don't really hear a whole lot about their third and fourth line. But today it kind of showed on the penalty kill where Johnsson, Philippi, and Steen both scored nice goals.
Yeah, holy shit. How about that Philippi kid? I mean, that was a ridiculous penalty kill for one. I don't know, when's the last time you've seen two goals on a penalty kill?
It's been a while. The flow on that guy too, hey?
Yeah, oh, that's ridiculous lettuce. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is there anyone that can rival that? That's like Minnesota high school hockey, their flow chart or whatever. I don't even remember what it's called, but that's got to be up there. That's nuts.
Yeah, he has some sick air.
I don't even know. Is that, might be taking it a little bit too far, but it's a Swedish thing. They're weird. No one really likes Swedes. In goal, Gustafsson. He's been all right for them. I mean, he hasn't really had to steal any games, but I didn't see those last two American goals. What did you think of Gustafsson's performance?
I thought he looked too good. The two American goals were both with the empty net, so they had the extra guy banging away at it. And I think it was Tkachuk scored a nice goal on a good feed from Bellows. So he's kind of like Hart. He hasn't really had to play very well at all this tournament. Like, if he just played okay, his team was going to win every game. And they did. So I don't really have any reservations about him. I think him and Hart will probably equal each other out, and I think it'll come down to goaltending tonight.
Fair enough. No, that makes sense. That's, you know, trying to watch as much as I can. It's kind of, the Swedes were one of those teams where they were never really in an interesting game since they seem to be blowing everyone out. It kind of just loses your interest there, but I mean, what can you say about the Americans? That, like, Tkachuk and Kiefer Bellows, I thought those guys were lights out this tournament. They were electric to watch.
Middlestat, too.
Yeah, oh, the kid's good. The one thing everyone ripped on him for, though, is he doesn't shoot the puck much. I 100% agree with that. He's got so much potential there. He just seems to try go for that fancy play. Maybe, like, it's still high school hockey out there for him, but yeah, I think it's about time he's got to start shooting that puck a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And he tried that backhand toe drag probably 10 times through the first three games. It looks like the couple times he tried it, but when it wouldn't work, it'd be a turnover and going back the other way.
Now, I know you like that. You got some reaction there on Twitter with the whole backhand toe drag thing. But realistically, I mean, the kid's got to be, what did he go, 8th overall to Buffalo or 7th overall? It was something good. I mean, he's going to be in good hands playing with a guy like Jack Eichel, who's skilled, and Alex Nylander's a Buffalo pick, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, he is, and that's what I tweeted about, how it was a bit disappointing that most, I guess, the fans didn't get out for the game. I'm sure there are some there, but you have the two of three future stars for your team playing in this game, and I guess potentially a third also. If you win the draft lottery, you can get Rasmus Dahlin. So that was disappointing to me, but I think the attendance in the tournament is that, I do agree that this is a junior hockey tournament, but I get where you're trying to make money. But you can't have a tournament in an American market two times in 7 years or whatever it was. I think it just exhausts it. And especially only being in one city where you're expecting the same people to buy the tickets for each game.
Yeah, it was just a horrible. I mean, it was a damn shame to see that. I haven't seen that empty or the bottom bowl full yet. It even tonight. I mean, they'll probably give them 8,000 fans or so, but it's questionable. Whoever's counting, I mean, they must be on drugs or something. I think they said like 5,000. Was that the Belarus Denmark game this morning? Did you see a picture? I think I retweeted a crowd shot of it. If that's 5,000. Holy!
Well, the thing is that they sell they count every single box seat that's sold, and every single tournament package seat that's sold. So they maybe sold 5,000 tickets, but I'm not sure there's 500 people there.
That's such an SJ move to a T. There's nothing. I mean, even to try BS that, I mean, you're just embarrassing yourself with trying to say there's 5,000 people there when you can probably count 19 in the stands. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Even with the outdoor game, I mean, I wasn't impressed with 44,000. Look at other outdoor games and the success they've done. I mean, who was it a while ago? There, a couple of NCAA games, they were pushing 70,000 to 100,000 at the big house there in Michigan. Like 44,000, that's nothing that's special for an outdoor game, I don't think.
The whole outdoor game thing is kind of confusing to me. I know you want to sell more tickets, but it takes away once you've done a couple and the camera angle's horrible for them.
That was brutal.
The ice is horrible for them.
That camera angle was horrible. I don't know what... I mean, we get to watch on TSN up here, but if you've seen any highlights, that TSN camera angle... I mean, that could have been Facebook Live, for all you know, from a fan.
I think
that was garbage.
I think it's all TSN because NHL Network like carries a TSN feed in the States.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
yeah,
NHL Network. Sorry about that. Holy, we really disappointed. That was brutal. I mean, there was nothing good about that outdoor game that I saw. They had to clean the ice every 5 minutes. Just wasn't pretty. So much snow out there. I mean, the guy's skill was hidden. I don't know. I put that question on Twitter today. Would you have liked to see Canada lose yesterday just to see a Canada-USA rematch indoors?
I think most people would rather... I know if you're from Canada, you probably never cheer for the States, but that might have been a reason to cheer for the States, so they won, so we played in the gold medal game, but at this point, I don't think anybody really cares who we play as long as we're in the finals.
How many people do you think are going to be at that Canada-Sweden game tomorrow? Or today?
I think it's going to be the same. Maybe a couple thousand more, but this tournament lacks so much energy where most people aren't running to buy tickets at this time, where nothing's really happened in the tournament, where you're all surprised about, right? Like, it's all kind of unpredictable, and it's kind of lacked that energy or high quality, like, kind of upset that, you know, you're waiting for, or comeback or something like that, where most people would go and kind of like gravitate towards, where you're not buying tickets to do that because it hasn't happened.
Do you think that lack of star power, I mean, I know Dillian, I think he is going to be a heck of a D-man in the NHL. Probably, I don't know, maybe next best D-man since Carlson? I don't know where to rank him exactly, but just that lack of star power on the Canada-USA side. I mean, there's not someone who you can really say they're going to be the next McDavid or Matthews. Like, do you think people are sleeping on the tournament because of that?
On the Canadian aspect, I think so. Like, that's what's made the Canada games less interesting for me, is you don't have a Strome, Barzal.
You mean no Warner, one wants to go watch Comtois?
McDavid. Come on. Yeah, I know. Like, you're just like, we've had that every single year, and the best player to watch has by far and away been Cale Makar, and he only plays about 7 or 8 minutes a game, which is just absurd, first of all.
Yeah, seeing him run the power play is next level. I mean, coming from a junior A player who was a questionable fourth overall pick, I'll give him that. Like, Colorado went out on a limb. Cale Makar was phenomenal in junior. I think he was, like, back-to-back player of the year for the CJHL.
Yeah, for CJHL.
Which is nuts. I mean, absurd, never heard of. This kid was ridiculous. But still, fourth overall's super high. And I think Makar's proving why he is. He is embarrassing the best WHL, QMJHL. He's making a mockery. Have you seen Victor Mete run a power play? I haven't been impressed by him. Cale Makar is five times the defenseman of Mete as far as I'm concerned. Like, this guy is show ready next year.
Oh, absolutely. And maybe he wants to go back to college and develop a little bit because he hasn't had a great season yet from what I've read, but
he's playing at UMass Amherst. I mean, I don't know what type of...
It's because he committed early. Apparently he committed early and all the big schools were after him.
Well, I mean, why not decommit then? I don't see a benefit in going to a subpar middle of the pack school, but I still think he's ready. Like, this kid's good.
Oh yeah.
And Ducharme.
Yeah.
On the bench, I mean, what can you say about Ducharme? The guy can't run anything. I mean, their fourth line has been their best line. He likes to say, oh, we're four lines deep. We're this great team. Like, no, you're just lucky your fourth line's bailing out all your French pieces of junk that are underperforming, taking stupid penalties, really weighing the team down. I mean, if you got to pick a negative, look who's taking the penalties. There isn't too much more to it other than, you know what, some of the Canadians' best players are those Western kids, and you don't want to give too much of a bias, but maybe those Western coaches know what they're doing and pick a more successful team for that reason.
Well, exactly, and just another note on disappointments. How about the two returning players from last year, Fabro and McLeod?
Holy!
I'll give Fabro a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because I guess he was hurt coming into the tournament. But isn't Josh Maher at 100% better than Fabro at 80 or 90%? I'd say so, but Fabro hasn't done very much, and I'm not even sure I've noticed Michael McLeod.
Yeah, McLeod who? I don't know, he's a 12th overall pick by New Jersey there, McLeod.
Yeah,
he's
a Devils.
I haven't noticed him. He hasn't done jack out there. And Fabro, I agree. The whole story on him is always hurt. Same with Mete. Like, I mean, it's still a bitter taste at how they handled the whole Mahura situation. That pisses me off. You cut a kid, you bring him back, and you cut him, and then you're dealing with four injuries on the back end. I mean,
yeah, I
come
know.
On,
that
get
just, that
get
just
someone
doesn't
with
make sense.
Yeah, bring
that's
someone in with balls. It's about that time. You know, Fabro. Okay, whatever. Maybe you are hurt, but yet again, if you were hurt coming into the tournament, maybe I don't know. I don't know who that falls on. It's the doctors. It's the coaches. It's Fabro. It's just something where they had a chance to better themselves and they didn't.
Yeah, I know, and it's weird too because who has a point in every game and is considered a top center? Sam Steele plays for the Regina Pats in the Western Hockey League. Who leads all our D and ice time per game? Cale Clegg, Brandon Wheatking's Western Hockey League. Who's the goalie of the team? Carter Hart, Everett Silvertip's Western Hockey League. Like, it's almost strange to me that our best players, and even Cale McCarr, who played in the AJHL and was drafted to Medicine Hat of the Western Hockey League. It's just weird to me how these guys continue to be our best players and they almost get next to no love because our coach is from Quebec. Hockey Canada loves their Ontario guys and there's a bias towards them. Because where's Cody Glass? Where's Cole Lind? Where's Michael Rasmussen? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Imagine how hard Ducharme was to see Batherson, Cape Breton. Can you imagine what he thought of just Batherson getting a hat trick? Like, he must think he just coaches in the King's shit or something. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, it.
And Comtois, too.
Holy. The guy, Comtois's been. I don't know. I've not been a fan of him. Their third, second line. Really not impressing. Comtois, even some of those OHL guys or whatever, Gadjevic, okay, he's been all right at best. Have you noticed Radish much out there? I haven't seen too much of him.
No.
I mean, not to rip on the guy too much. He's good, but he hasn't done anything this tournament.
And that's why it's tough to evaluate this team, because we've had so many blowout games that if those guys get two or three goals or two or three points, people are going to kind of look at them and say, okay, they should be on the team, but it's going to be interesting where they'll all be tomorrow because I think Sweden's a more skilled team than us, and I think that all our penalty-killing kind of designed forwards are going to show tomorrow in a bad way.
One guy I guess I've really been impressed with, haven't followed too much of the WHL there. I know you do some of the work in Saskatoon. You got to watch all those games and stuff, but Brett Howden out of Moose Jaw. He's been good. Every time I see him on the ice, you know, he's one of those players where you don't notice him making bad plays. You know, he seems to be right place, right time. He's not turning the puck over. He's making smart plays. He's setting up his teammates. He's, I mean, he's using his body. He's a big body out there. Like he's well over 6 feet. I mean, he's one of the bigger guys on the team. He's been good.
Yeah, and and that's what Ray Ferraro said. They said he's a coach's player. But it's weird though, because I've seen the Warriors play the Blades probably 5 times in 2 years. He's played in one of those games. And I think in the last one, he was up in the press box beside me commentating the game for the Moose Jaw Warriors radio station.
What? Is he healthy or injured?
No, he was injured. He's been injured a while, like for a lot though.
Oh, really?
I've only seen him play once or twice, but again, two-way guy.
Well, that's an interesting one there. But, I mean, to speak of a guy kind of who's battled through injuries there, Cal Foote in Kelowna. You know, he hasn't had any spectacular season, but, you know, what have you thought of him on the back end this tournament?
Personally, I'm not a big Cal Foote fan. I've seen him play probably 4 times since he was 16, and he just doesn't move well enough yet for me. I do think he's on this team because of his name, and I do think he got drafted high because of his name. Like, there could be a player there, but I personally think that, you know, right now he's more of a project, and you should be taking guys for this team who are ready to go now, and you're not going to work with them in this 2-week tournament.
I agree. I don't like seeing him. He's not up to the skill level as the other D-men. But I think you gotta say he's one of our best defensive D-men in the fact that, I mean, just that net front play and stuff. Like, he's probably one of the strongest kids back there. Not to say anything bad about Fabro, Bean, McCarr. They're not really thick kids. They're not really that strength, that defensive brute strength. I agree, Cal Foote's not a top 4 D-men on this team by any means, but, you know, yeah, he's not been great. I don't think he's been horrible either.
Yeah, and once again, we haven't really had a tough test at all, so there's not many players on Switzerland, Czech, Slovakia, Denmark who's going to blow by him, right? I guess the best player he would have played against is probably Nekash, who I think is tremendous.
Nekash was good. Zadina was good for the Czech Republics. I mean, they were a 5-man or 6-man team, I guess you could say. Like, they were not deep, and they just weren't. They didn't capitalize on their chances. I mean, how many chances did they have last night? It was nuts.
Oh, I know. And if Nekesh doesn't hit the crossbar in the open net, and then I think it was Sedin or Cheadle backdoor. If they make that shot, and then they don't take those 2 stupid penalties where they got the retaliation, who knows where we're standing now.
Now, for the Czechs, I mean, well, even before we get to the Czechs' top 3 players of the tournament, I mean, that was pretty obvious, but they went over the Canadian top 3 players there, and Connor Timmins, I guess probably the surprise, Batherson, McCarr, like, we've been saying that shit all tournament. I mean, we're probably the damn best in this game. I mean, go through our Twitter, we've been calling the spade a spade the whole time. But Connor Timmins, you know, kind of been quiet. What do you think of his performance?
I think the fact that he's been quiet means that he's played pretty well. He seems like the type of guy who's a good two-way guy. And if you're not saying his name a lot, then that means he's doing his job. And, you know, I think that translates to a long NHL career. Ray Ferraro was talking about how great he's been. And I agree, he kind of gets the puck, doesn't really dust it off too much, and just gets his off his stick and knows where he's going with it. And he can defend, too.
Now, Ray Ferraro was pretty, well, I mean, for the Americans that don't know, Ray Ferraro is a TSN analyst. I mean, he is pretty brutally honest in this tournament. And
he does NBC.
Okay. Well, hey, learn something new every day, right? But, you know, he was pretty honest with the Russians. And I thought the Russians actually had some potential in this tournament. The more I watched them, I mean, disappointing first day, they got knocked off by the Czechs. But as the Czechs proved, they weren't that bad out there. But, you know, who was your favorite non-Canadian or Swedish player in this tournament, or even American? I mean, who is your favorite kind of player on those bottom 6 teams?
Yeah, I think Clint Cost in the St. Louis first-round pick. He was taken 31st overall in the draft. He looked really strong for Russia. And Svechnikov, too, who's probably going to be the number 2 pick if somebody needs a big Russian winger. So, you know, I think he finished the tournament with 5 assists, but you could definitely see the potential there. But then again, there's the Russian factor for NHL teams where are you going to take a big Russian winger? Because the last time a Russian winger was taken in the top two in the draft, it was Nail Yakupov, and you can see where he's at.
I think Yakupov's had an all right season in Colorado there. Won't get too much into the NHL, but holy, Nathan MacKinnon's actually proven his value. But you know what? Russian wingers and stuff, I don't find they're as effective if they're not of the scoring type, and that comes from a lot of those Europeans. Even you're seeing it from the Finns. I mean, guys like Laine, Puljujärvi, some of those big scoring forwards, they're really hit or miss. You got to say that. Yeah, I mean,
they are.
Now, I got to say, for one of my favorites, I mean, tournament favorite, that Durny kid in net for Slovakia. That was the stuff that he did. I mean, what he held the Swedes to, they lost 3-2 in the quarters. They beat the Americans. He didn't even start the tournament for the team. They had that St. Cloud kid who's played well. Don't get me wrong, but Durny, and it's pretty cool. Now Durny's heading to Des Moines, the Buccaneers. My former glory days.
The USHL.
Yeah, he's taken over the madhouse. That's the Des Moines Buccaneers. They got a heck of a kid there. That Durny was spectacular in the World Juniors, and glad for him. I hope he gets a shot. Hope he gets a shot in the NCAA. I think he is great throughout the tournament.
Yeah, he'll probably get top goalie also.
You think so? That was going to be my next one, is kind of, who do you see getting some of those awards?
That's tough because, you know, usually if they want to go with the top offensive, it's weird though because I would probably say it'd be Pettersson, or I'd say Andersson or Nylander from Sweden might get most outstanding player, or maybe Middlestad, but it's tough because he didn't take his team to the gold medal game and he missed a 3-0 today. So that's tough. I do think that, you know, you could give Dahlin a look there, you could give maybe Cale Makar a look there. Yeah, nobody's really stood out on Canada where they just dominated the tournament, but if I had to pick a three, probably Nylander, Pettersson, or Casey Middlestad.
Okay, now, I didn't even see that Middlestad 3-0. I heard about it, though. How bad was it? Like did this guy actually just, like, blow off his teammates on a 3-0 or what?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's not like they had a 3-0 from their own blue line. Like, they had a 3-0 probably from the tops of the circles in. So it's like, he did have, I think he should, like, the best play probably would have been to give it to Bellows of all people for a one-timer. Like, there's one guy you want to give a one-timer to, it's Bellows, right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, he did try to go in, and I guess a breakaway is a breakaway, but because the third guy was kind of out of it, but I thought the play was to Bellows. And they ended, at like worst case scenario, they ended up getting goalie interference penalty because all the players were just kind of surrounded by him.
I can't speak too much on Andersson there. He had 6 goals or 1 assist or whatever. Like, he was solid. Bellows didn't even pick up an apple all tournament. Like, he was 7 goals, 0 assists.
But, just a sniper.
Oh my. What if his shot? Holy. That guy can rip the damn puck like no one else. That's an NHL caliber shot. That was...
Did you see the video of him celebrating right beside his dad's vintage jersey?
I did see that. That was pretty cool. That's got to be... I mean, what are the odds?
That's probably the best.
The whole empty bowl and the one person he gets to celly beside has his dad's jersey on.
Yeah, that was cool.
Pathetic crowd, but up front, I do agree, like, guys like Middlestad, Kostin, Tkachuk, they've been good. Soft spot, my heart. Samuel Buček from the Slovaks. Just his performance against the Americans, played well against the Swedes, 7 points, 5 games. Buček's been good. As for Canadians, I don't think anyone's really knocked off my socks. Cale Makar, Kyrou's been just good. Sam Steele. It'll be interesting to see. MVP of the tournament's a real toss-up. I feel like the Americans may give it to Middlestad for his points. I think he led the thing in points, so would make sense on that respect. But top five, I mean, you got to choose that top five team. It's definitely going to be interesting to see who they go with, and I'm not sure. There's so many you can go with. Goaltending's a toss-up for sure. I mean, you think that Slovakian kid, but Carter Hart, like, he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been bad. I don't think there's anyone really...
Yeah, and I know, and it's like if you get 15 shots a game and let in one goal, your save percentage is going to be sick.
Fair enough, but if you let in two and, like, a soft one a game, it's going to hurt you a little bit.
I know, he's kind of worried me. Like, that's what I think it's going to come down to in the next hour here is, can he not let in those soft goals? Because we've seen it every game now. Like, the first goal, he was too deep in his net, and then the second goal, he missed covering the puck. That can't happen in a gold medal game, right? Especially with point he's played one game and faced 15 shots all tournament. Like, he's not going to come off the bench cold.
Yeah, frick, I'm mad about that one. I'm pissed. I think Colton Point was the best goalie in preseason, the best goalie in camp, played one game, had a shutout. They didn't give him a legitimate chance. I wish we could have seen more of him. I really do wish we could have seen more of Colton Point, because I think he's the real deal. He's big, he moves well, plays his angles good. He's got that confidence. He's got that, like, what do you say? Like, he's pissed off at Hockey Canada. Even in one of his pre-tournament interviews, he said, I've been underrated for a long time. Like, you know, it's about time I get this chance. And I thought he was good.
Yeah, he played well, but I think the thing is that, you know, anytime you have a returning goalie who's having a really strong season, like, unless he completely screws up a game or screws up two games, like, his leash is probably the longest leash in the world. Like, it's a never-ending leash, I think, if you have a returning goalie who hasn't really done anything to lose the job. Like, they're going to play every game.
I'm not sure Ducharme's ever pulled a goalie in his life there, but we put a Twitter poll up there on Tuesday, and we said Carter Hart has been blank, kind of just getting, I mean, we had a good amount of votes there and stuff. Surprisingly, 42% of people said he's been great. Like, do we just have idiot Twitter followers, or do people actually think Carter Hart has been great? Because from my perspective, I would not call him great. I put him in the okay category, I think. I'd have to go back and check. But, I mean, what would you rank Carter Hart's performance?
I'd say he's just been okay. Like, I guess you would know better than I do, but being a goalie is probably tough when your team's dominating and you're not really doing a whole lot. But at the same time, like, you can't let that affect your play, like, where you miss covering pucks and it ends up in the back of your net, and where you go down too early and the shot beats you over the shoulder. Like, he has gotten lucky this tournament where, like for example, when the first game put bad at the puck off the line, today the Czechs missed two wide open nets, like, and, like, he's been out of position on a few where it looks like he lost his net a couple times or was bobbling the puck. Like, I would think, like, if I ever said a goalie was great, it's because they stole you multiple games or made a couple saves in a game, which kept your team in it, right? Not just if you let in two goals on 25 shots and call her a day, and, like, outside shots too.
If we're going off of wins, I guess Hart's got to be up there in the great conversation, but yeah, just how he played, there's nothing in my mind that screams great. I think talking to a bunch of people in the hockey world, no one's considered him great this tournament. He's a good goalie, don't get me wrong. His numbers in Everett are awesome, but yeah, it's going to be a toss-up tonight. It'll be interesting to see how him and Gustafson go toe-to-toe. And another one we threw up, though, the American Tenny there. Frick, what's his name? Joseph Wolt. The American Tenny, we threw up a Twitter poll. Jeez, were the Americans wrong to go with him after he was a healthy scratch in their game?
I think the only reason he was a healthy scratch is because they didn't want him freezing on the bench. Because you saw the backup goalie, they had a shot of him and he didn't look like he was enjoying it. But I am surprised that they didn't give Ottinger at least a second look that wasn't in an outdoor game, because it just seemed like they just kept going back to Wool, back to Wool, back to Wool. Like, but I guess in yesterday's semifinal, he didn't really have a chance on the, like, on any of them. Like, I guess if somebody scores on three clean shots, you'd like your goalie to save one, but you can't put the blame on him, right?
Yeah, you were one to defend Wool in that. I mean, our fans or whatever, like, it was a tie. 36% said good, 36% said okay. No one said great. A couple people said bad there at 28%. But You were one to defend Wool, and I really wasn't on his side. I mean, the clean shots, they hurt. They're shorthanded. Sure, they were good shots, but you gotta make those gold medal saves. He didn't. Americans did not deserve to go to the gold medal. Straight up, I think that's gotta be what it was. Like, Wool was not up to par for the Americans this tournament.
No, he wasn't, and who knows, maybe, let's say, if that's Canada in that situation, we're saying the same thing. Because if he plays that way against the Czechs, USA still wins, right?
Well, I think anyone wins against the Czechs. I mean, they were solid. They've got those five solid players, but as we pointed out earlier, they're just not deep enough to beat Canada, and you take some stupid penalties, you give Canada a chance, and yeah, they're going to make you pay, no doubt. Especially when you get Cale Makar on the power play. Wow. I just can't believe they didn't start him. It's Cale Clegg can move the puck, sure, he fed Sam Steele for a 1-tee for that first goal. But there's no reason Cale Makar should not be on PP1. That's just Ducharme being a sour POS, whatever the kids want to call it. I mean, he is just being a baby, because Cale Makar is clearly the best power play runner in the tournament. Up there.
I'd argue that.
Who? You can't say Dahlin's better. No!
I can.
How? How is Dahlin better than Makar?
Just watch him tonight, man.
If Rasmus Dahlin, he's good. He's good. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great D-man. He doesn't have the shot. Does he have the smarts yet? Is he that advanced hockey smarts-wise that he is up there?
I think he is.
He's got the skill. He's got the skating. He is one heck of a skilled kid. I bet you if you put him in NCAA hockey, he probably leads the D1 in scoring. He's that good. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm not sold on him yet. I'm not sold on him. Can't say I am. I think he's going to go first overall because everyone's looking for that D-man, and I think he's a right-hand shot too, isn't he?
No, he's left.
Okay, I was going to say, I think people give their left nut for a right-hand shot D-man nowadays, but has he been better than Liljegren this tournament? Debatable. Dillian's made a lot of fancy plays and stuff, but still, he's got to prove himself. Got to prove himself at big stage, gold medal game tonight, I guess. We'll see, eh?
Uh-huh. It is. What's your prediction?
Oh, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty prediction. Game time, probably just about starting or in the first period right now, I guess. Oh, I like those Canadians too much to predict against them, but the Swedes are good in a sense. I just hope it doesn't go to a shootout. If it goes to a shootout, this could be the last show ever. I may never watch hockey again in my life. I hate the shootout. Canadians win this one. It's going to be high scoring, though. It's going to be a 5-3 game. Canada takes gold in Buffalo. I just hope there's more than 7,000 people. That's a win for everyone if there's that many people there.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to say Sweden wins 4-2. I just think that the lack of true offensive talent up front for Canada is going to hurt them in the end. And I think that it'll be a little, like, it's going to be a step faster tomorrow, and I don't think we'll be able to adjust.
It's going to be tough. I don't know if Canada is ready for that, as you've said. It's been a pretty...
Yes, tonight, sorry.
I mean, their cakewalk to the gold medal game. Jeez, I don't know if you can buy a better one. You might want to play, like, Belarus and Denmark or something, but... Yeah, they really... Cake eater, or whatever they call it on Mighty Ducks. I mean, they just walk through, no problems. Tonight's going to be a huge test. The Swedes are much faster, skilled. It's going to come down to Carter Hart, though. Hart versus Gustafsson's the big one. Huge matchup. Hart's got to make those gold medal saves. He lets in the softies, they're screwed. They're good as gone. No doubt about it.
Yep.
There we go, that's going to do it. Hey, Adam, thanks for coming on. You know, co-host eventually, once you calm down there, you're in school now, eh? Student styles. So we'll get you on more. Co-host, guest for today. World Junior expert also, though. Thanks for that input. That's awesome. Hopefully Ducharme and crew might be able to come out with a gold medal. If not, well, We'll rip on them next week for all their shitty choices. But you know what? Thanks for coming on, and you know what? We appreciate you being here.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Thanks to Adam for coming on and joining us. You know, he's got a busy schedule there, obviously. He's going to be watching the World Juniors game going on right now. Exciting one. Gold medal game. Who's going to win? Canada or Sweden? Let us know on Twitter, at World Honky Report. That's World Hockey RPT. Thanks to Twitter. Can't get the full name in there. World Hockey Report. We got a bunch of cool stuff on there. We're always retweeting all the latest hockey news, stuff that's coming up, breaking news. We're always trying to get on that right away. Want to be the first, the best in the biz. That's World Hockey Report. But another guest. We got Ryan Kahn up here joining us. Let's bring him in. Join now our Oilers analyst, Ryan Connop, joined with you here in the studio. Ryan, big Oilers fan. Obviously, they had a huge win last night. You know, I tried kept up with them, watched a little bit of that Canada game yesterday. It kind of took priorities, but I know you've been following the Oilers closely. They haven't been doing good, but last night was a good one. Hey, what did you think? A 2-1 shootout win over Anaheim?
Yeah, it was awesome. It would have been better to win it in regulation, right? Because we're kind of chasing Anaheim right now. Both these teams not looking too fantastic right now, but it was definitely a good game. It was great to see Connor McDavid get a sweet assist. It's one of the only times, you know, that like if he gets the assist, he always takes the attention away from the goal scorer.
Now you're kind of on the fence here with the Oilers. Their past few games, I know, I mean, obviously a big win, so you're feeling a little bit good about yourself, but those past few have been frustrating. Or they get shut out like 6-0 against LA or 5-0. Like
the last two games before this, it was 10-0, the two games
that,
combined. Yeah.
That's brutal. I mean, that's not how any NHL team that was predicted. I mean,
that was predicted to be a freaking Stanley Cup
favorite. They are supposed to be up there with the Pittsburghs, the St. Louis, the Tampa Bays of the league, and Connor McDavid and Draisaitl. Sure, their individual performance has been above average, you could say, but I don't know. I mean, I've watched a couple of their games now recently. I still haven't been impressed with them. I mean, they are not a deep team at all. They're just not a four-line team that can compete in the playoffs. I'm 100% sold on that, and they're going to be lucky to get into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, well, I bet you Shirelli's walking around with a fake mustache every time he leaves his house, just because people are not happy with our general manager right now. He did not have a good offseason, and now we are paying for it.
Do you follow that fake Shirelli account on Twitter?
I do.
That is hilarious. Oh, my goodness. If you do, I don't know what it is. Might have to retweet something or something. But, oh, it's hilarious. Whoever runs it is a complete genius. All the stuff they say is just so damn funny. It's definitely worth a follow. But, I mean, on Shirelli there, he hasn't really had any fans wherever he went, even in Boston. I mean, he made a couple of those bad
trades. Did he get ran out of Boston?
I think he did. I mean, with the whole Phil Kessel, Tuukka Rask, stuff like that.
Right.
He was, I don't think people were a fan of him, and now, well, the Oilers just adopted him, and everyone seems to be getting pissed off now.
Yeah, I just don't even know what to say at this point. I'm feeling a lot better right now because we are coming off of that win, right? But it's not like it was even the most convincing win by any means, right? Like, if this had been, because we are coming off of four brutal games, right? It was not a great way to enter the new year. And yeah, a 1-1 tie going into the shootout, you know, if we had a won like 7-0 last night, the oil country would feel a little bit better right now. But
you know what's nuts is with the firepower in that game, and even that Edmonton just hands alone, and you can't end it in a 5-minute 3-on-3 overtime. That's kind of scary. I mean, what's going to have to make those guys click? Do you think they need to bring in another forward before the end of the deadline?
Another forward?
A scorer.
Well, we need a left winger. I love Lucic. I really do. I'd love him on the second or third line, but I need speed with McDavid. And what is going on? Why will they not put Nugent Hopkins with McDavid?
I actually think McClellan has a hate on for Nugent Hopkins.
He does.
I do. I think, I mean, most of oil country does for one, but I don't know. He's not a bad player. He was a goal scorer in juniors. I get it's different to the show, but still watch the guy. Just give him the puck and let him shoot.
Give him one chance. What is it? We've been asking for this for 2 years now. just for one game. Why can't we have one game where you put the first overall draft pick of, what was it, 2012? With the first overall pick of with Connor McDavid. This is just ridiculous.
That was a
streak
of like
see it once.
Nine first overall picks there. But, I mean, you're down 5-0 to LA in the third. Just maybe switch up the lines, maybe, McClellan. I think that's a pretty logical thing, but you're losing against a lot of these teams that you're chasing, and I mean, the Oilers sitting third last in the West right now. That hurts.
Second last?
No, you're ahead of Vancouver now. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then, do you know what? I'm in a good mood. As long as we're ahead of Vancouver, that's the next best thing to making the playoffs.
Okay. Now, before we even get anywhere else here, you got a pretty funny Vancouver story. You were living out there, maybe a little bit Canucks analyst, but you were a part of the 2011 riots. You got to tell this story.
Yeah, I was a part of the riots. That is for sure. I was going to film school at the time, and Vancouver put on this awesome party for everybody for all the games. They would shut down the streets and just have everybody come out and watch on this big screen. And we're all sitting there, and this is game 7. And I just can't tell you, even in the last like 5 minutes of the game, the Canucks are down 4-0. You still kind of have this feeling like, no, they're going to come back. They have to. Like, it's been written that we are going to win. How is this a thing, right? And you're kind of cheering. When you're in the atmosphere, you're sort of cheering for the Canucks at the time, even though I'm, bleeding copper and blue. Anyway, the riots started right behind us before the game was even over. I remember looking around. There was some guy wearing a Bruins jersey. He had blood all over him. He's running as fast as he can. Whole bunch of guys wearing Canucks jerseys are chasing him. There's porta potties getting knocked over. A cop car is on fire. And it was just like, holy crap. And I had to walk to get back to my apartment. I had to walk through the heart of it all. I had to go right across Granville Street and right by the riot police. I've never had so much tear gas in my eyes. I'm making it sound like this is a common thing. Like, oh, I've never had that much. I've never had tear gas at all, ever. And so that was interesting. I actually stole something that night. I'm not a thief. I've never stolen anything.
Wow,
I stole
Ryan.
A bottle of water because the convenience store was too busy and I couldn't get to the front. There was like pandemonium inside there. So I had to just walk out with a bottle of water to pour in my eyeballs.
That's horrible. I mean, I'm sure people stole a lot worse. That's nuts. I've heard that story before. It never gets old. That's just the riots. If you could see Ryan Conn up here, I'm sure you'd laugh at, like, this kid's not a rioter here, but Oilers analyst. What do you think of the Oilers, chance to just get into playoffs, jump into a wild card spot there this season? Do you think they have a hope?
If I was betting money, I would say no. But yeah, as an Oilers fan, of course, I'm going to say we're going to be sneaking into that eighth spot.
I wonder what the odds are. I mean, if you're just going to put down a couple of stacks on the Oilers right now to make the playoffs, even when the Stanley Cup, like, probably get rich. That's a quick Bitcoin scheme there.
Yeah.
Pick the Oilers to win.
We've got the McDavid factor. So no matter how bleak it looks, you just never know.
Okay. One more question. I know you're not a big European hockey fan, but did you see that Kazakhstan hockey team that slaughtered a lamb on ice, a KHL team, Bars of Stana or something, or Akbars? I don't know. They're on some horrible losing streak, and instead of just going on a bender, you know what, the guy's just getting in one. They decide to go and kill a lamb mid-ice. There was blood. I guess some of the Canadians and Americans got sick. Do you hear about that?
Kazakhstan, number one hockey team in all of Eastern Asia. Yeah. No, I did not hear about that, and I should probably be more surprised, but I'm not.
That's nuts. I mean, KHL just pulling out all the stunts this year. I seen that story. Like, I read it on Twitter or something. It got out, and holy, like what do you do when you're on a losing streak? You're like, okay, yep, and boys are just going to go get in one. You know, we're going to get loaded, play guilty the next day, hopefully just grease out a win. And what are they doing in Kazakhstan? We're going to go kill a lamb mid-ice.
Well, yeah, I know. When the Oilers are on a losing streak, we kill lambs, but not on the ice. It's behind closed doors.
I wonder how they did it. Did they do it with a skate, or did they, I don't know.
The skate would be suiting.
That would be
the hockey gods would be pleased. They would accept the sacrifice.
I wonder how much like extra money they get for the KHL if they like video it or do something cool.
Oh, 5,000 rubles. Yeah.
What were you saying?
Cool. Is that good?
Oh, here, let's do a quick extra.
Okay.
Perfect. I guess we're kind of running out of time here. This show is cutting her close. But, you know, I'd like to thank Ryan, Oilers analyst, here coming on the show. We'll try to get him on more. I mean, NHL season's in full swing. This guy's watching all the Oilers games. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks to Ryan for joining me here. World Hockey Report with Cody Jansen. January 5th edition. Running down the show here almost at the end of the hour. Let's switch over to college hockey now. Those are all getting back in action. Congrats, Bowling Green. Great Lakes Invitational Champions. Big win over Michigan Tech, I think it was, 4-1. Big one there. Lots of games going on tonight, though. Things are right back. I mean, full swing. Couple of big games I'm going to be watching tonight, though. Big Ten action. Three games going on. Number 15, Wisconsin takes on number 14, Penn State. Gets underway hours time or so. Exact same. Number 2, Notre Dame takes on Michigan tonight. Another big one. Michigan hasn't had a good season. Notre Dame, they got to prove they're a number 2 team. You know what? With Denver and St. Cloud kind of proving to be a little bit inconsistent, Notre Dame's got a chance. Can't lose to Michigan, though. Tell you that for free. And Michigan's motivated. Michigan's not having a great season there. They're going to be looking to pull off an upset. Gets underway. Actually, that one might actually be underway right now. 6:35. Yeah, it's underway already. A couple other games I'm going to be watching tonight. In the NCHC, two big matchups. Number 18, Omaha takes on number 6, North Dakota. And number 4, Denver. They've struggled. Oh, yeah, they've struggled. They take on Miami. Exciting one. Miami, Ohio. Can't lose to them. Denver, they need a big second half. But yet again, I still think they are good enough to get into the tournament. And once you're there, I mean, you never know. Anything can happen. Denver takes on Miami tonight. One more game I'm going to be paying attention to. That's Arizona State versus Northern Michigan. Kind of a weird one, but it's the T-Mobile Arena Ice Vegas Invitational. Yeah, that's a mouthful. No kidding. What else would you expect from Vegas? That's actually college hockey in Vegas. Game before that, Boston College takes on Michigan Tech there. But the late one, Arizona State takes on Northern Michigan. I think that's two pretty well-balanced teams. I think they equal each other out there talent-wise, skill-wise. They're not having the best seasons they've ever put together. Should be a good one. Goes on tonight. That's going to be late, I guess, for all you listening out east. Was it 3 hours ahead? Probably 11:30 Eastern time, but Arizona, Northern Michigan. If you're a night owl, Nighthawk? Not even sure which one it is. Not an animal expert here, I guess, but Arizona State versus Northern Michigan should be a good one. WCHC, I guess Minnesota State's in action. Number 7th ranked, take on Alaska Anchorage. Shouldn't have too many problems there. Minnesota State's been good. Ranked number 7 for a reason. I mean, they're solid. They're solid. Cornell also takes on Princeton tonight. ECAC action. I don't think Clarkson's in action. But Cornell and Princeton, they'll do battle this weekend. Switching over to the ACHA. D2 selects are over in Europe for that World Cup of College Hockey. I watched some of the highlights there. It's pretty good hockey, actually. I knew it would be good. I didn't think it would be that good. And you know what? It was surprisingly very good. The Russian team, they were dominant all tournament. That's their skill level, their speed was just that much better. It was a tight tournament, though, the whole way. ACHA, the selects won their first one over the EUHL. That's the European Hockey League there, or European University Hockey League. Stumble City. Guess I'm ready to have a few drinks and watch this World Juniors game tonight. ACHA selects, they win their first one. They got blown out in their second one by the Russian School Hockey League All-Stars 7-0. Then in the final, didn't fare so well again. The Americans fell 6-1 to the Russian Student Hockey League. Hey, take home a silver medal. Not bad, not bad. Player of the game, Josh Korner from Florida Gulf Coast University. Top demon of the tournament. Corey Sella. That's big. I mean, it's a tough tournament. That's crazy for those kids. It's the middle of their season. They're going overseas. They played in three different countries. Three different countries. So they were traveling the whole time. You never get set in a single hotel. I can't imagine the rest period was that good there. Kind of tough, but big tournament. You can say congrats to all those teams. That's a cool event. Really hoping they keep putting that. Maybe even bring in an NCAA D3 All-Star team or something. Would make it interesting. I wonder if the Americans, though, are going to set an ACHA D1 team next year. D2, they did fine against the EUHL. The Russians, though, proved to be a little bit too much. It's expected. That, I mean, Russians are good at hockey. They're not Europeans. They've got their own style. They know how to play. They play with each other. They're good. Impressive tournament. Looking forward to next year. That's going to be really cool. Maybe we make it out there. Eh? World Hockey Report. Covering that one live. Couple of live blogs. Speaking blogs. Did you read some of those this week? There were some fire ones that went out. Adam Urbentrout already on the show, I guess. You guys already know him. Put out a semi-final preview. That was dynamite. That was more depth than I've seen anywhere. TSN, ESPN, NHL Network. You read that and you're ready. I mean, you feel like you're a part of the game. You know everyone. You know everything that's going to happen. So far into it already. Semifinals was great. We also recapped Round Robin, their World Juniors. You can read all that. World Hockey Report, WordPress.com. Blogs are all up there. Links in our Twitter bio. World Hockey Report. That's World Hockey RPT on Twitter. A couple of players to watch, though. As we wind down, big trade in the NHL, Al Montoya. The former Montreal Canadian, he was on the IR this season, didn't have a great start. Oh well, get over it. Gets traded to Edmonton. Now for Edmonton, they've had some backup issues. Laurent Brossoit hasn't been good, hasn't posted over a 900 save percentage in a while. Whereas Al Montoya, a little bit older, a little bit more experienced. He's 32. He spent time AHL, NHL, University of Michigan graduate. Impressive. Impressive for him. And you know what? The crazy thing about it, in his last four seasons, Winnipeg, Florida, and Montreal, three of the four, he's posted over a 910 save percentage. Highest coming out of 920 when he was with Winnipeg. Played 28 games, posted a 2.3 goals against average. 2015-16 in Florida, 2.18 goals against average in 25 games. 919 save percentage. Last year in Montreal, good again. I mean, you want that backup who's got solid consistency. That's what Al Montoya is. Comes into Montreal last year, 2.67 goals against average, 912. They're kind of in a goaltender debacle. They've got Charlie Lindgren, really good young kid. They picked off Niemi off waivers. And yet again, you get the best goalie in arguably the league, Carey Price. You got to play him. So, I mean, Montoya probably seen the writing on the wall. The Oilers only had to give up, a fourth, fifth round draft pick for him. Nothing special. That's a steal for the Oilers. It's expected Brossoit goes back down to Bakersfield. Montoya might get a start. They got Dallas and Chicago this weekend. Would be cool. Other guys on the move. Jordan Samuels Thomas. The former Waterloo Blackhawk, San Diego Gull, heading over, signed. Mladen Boleslav. Kind of having a rough season there in Boleslav. They pick up the 7th round Atlanta Thrashers draft pick. Played at Bowling Green, played at Quinnipiac. Spent some time in the minors in the States, heading over to Czech Republic. Exciting. Not sure if I like the signing from Mladen Boleslav's side. Is it because they're scared of relegation? Realistically, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot, but they're also 1 point above having to play in that relegation pool, so could be a big pickup for them if he can help out. Maybe find his scoring touchback. Hasn't had a great season in San Diego, so Samuels Thomas heads over to Boleslav. We'll wrap this one up. A little bit of Krasnaya Liga for the big announcement. Ho, 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 ho. You guys are going to love that one. Krasnaya Liga gets started up tomorrow. And all three of these games are massive. Listen, I mean, whoever did the scheduling here just seems like a genius. First game of the day, number 3 versus number 4. Got Česká Lípa taking on Liberec. Only 3 points separating them. European hockey, that's one win, right? 3 points for the win, 2 for the OT win, 1 for the OT loss, and 0 for a regulation loss. Number 5 and 6 in the league division. Friedland and Varnsdorf. Kind of the bottom teams. Varnsdorf, that 5th spot, they're 10 points out of 4th. Trying to catch Česká Lípa there. I don't think it's going to happen. But you still got a battle. You don't want to be relegated. Those two looking like they'll be in those relegation games. Friedland, 2 wins on the season, 1 overtime win. Whereas Varnsdorf's got 3 regulation wins, 1 overtime win. And then the top one, Turnov, Second place, kind of an unfamiliar spot for them. They're 1 point back, though, of Lomonice. They take on Lomonice. That's a late one tomorrow night. Lomonice's 10-4 on the season, where Turnoff is 9-1-0-4. So whoever scheduled that, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5 playing each other right after Christmas break. Like, welcome back. Here's some of the biggest games. Get ready for playoffs. Exciting times over there. A little crash Galiga. Got to give the update. Still, soft spot for Chescalipa. Games are pretty good. Give you an update next week again. Big news, though, to cap this one off. Just got informed of this last night. Not a bad email to get. World Hockey Report coming to you in a totally different way. Google Play Store. Yeah, World Hockey Report. Going to be all these show episodes. We were putting them on SoundCloud before. Now it's a new one. Google Play Store. Still waiting on those iTunes confirmation. But we're going to be on Google Play Store. Search it up. Should be up. This show's going up right away. I mean, probably hour after the show, you'll be able to find it. If you missed it, if you missed any of those shows, World Hockey Report, going to be on the Google Play Store for Android phones. For you iPhones, I'm sorry. Still have to go through SoundCloud. But big news, I mean, that's a huge step. Really excited to get out there more. Just the more people that can hear it, it's awesome. Do appreciate everyone following us on Twitter, keeping track of us. It's awesome. Hope to have some more cool guests there. Kind of talking college coach. Could we get a college coach on next week? We're looking at it. Talking to him. We'll see. Could be some more big guests coming up. Hopefully get Adam as a co-host here. Soon. Once school work slows down for him a little bit. Other than that, though, hey, thanks for tuning in. Another episode, January 5th. Enjoy that World Juniors game. Get a couple in you. Get in one. It's going to be a big one. Go Canada, go. For World Hockey Report, I'm Cody Jansen. Have a good night.